And welcome to another episode of Imagination Funtime. I am your host, Brandon Devine. How are you guys today? What is today? What is today? Today is Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. Oh my God, summer is just flying by, folks. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy how fast time just seems to move when you're just having so much fun? I'm just having so much fun. You know, I wake up, I go and bust tables at a restaurant. That's just so much fun. And then at the end of the day, I am still in Arkansas, which is just like the most fun place in the world. Who wouldn't want to live in Arkansas? I'll tell you who. Probably most people. No, honestly, it's not the worst place to be right now. Arkansas is just, for someone like me, it's just not the most fun place. It is, God, it's really hard to describe what life is like here in Northwest Arkansas. It's boring. It's very boring, especially if you're not a person who enjoys like drinking or, you know, certain outdoor activities. Like, I love doing outdoor activities. I ride my bike. You know, I like going swimming. I like going hiking and stuff like that. But basically, around here, all there is to really do is go down to the bars at Dixon Street in Fayetteville or go to the fucking lakes and just, you know, float and get drunk. So basically, really, the only thing to do around Arkansas is really get drunk. And for any of you who are actually taking everything I say seriously, you are all fucking morons, because Arkansas is truly a great place to live. There are many amazing people here, and you need to take what I say with a fucking grain of salt, all right? Can you fucking do that? Can you all just fucking relax a little bit? Jesus Christ, you guys take everything so fucking seriously. All right, folks. You know, I've had a pretty good week. It was, 4th of July this past weekend. I didn't have, you know, the best 4th of July. It was better than some, I guess. I worked. You know, it was a busy day at work. There were a lot of fireworks. God, like, especially around where my job is, the restaurant I work at, there was fireworks being set off in, like, every different direction. So, like, you know, like, a lot of people in town will gather all in one place and watch just one big set of fireworks go off. This was like, you know, fireworks are going off in front of you and then behind you and literally to like every different direction of all around you. It was pretty nuts. So they definitely do know how to, rednecks down here definitely do know how to celebrate and, you know, America, fuck yeah. other than that, it's just, you know, it's been either raining or it's been sunny and like 90 degrees out. So on the sunny and 90 degrees days, I've been trying to go for bike rides and get myself out. And on the 90 degree, the raining days, you know, I'll either be working or I'll just be sitting inside doing a whole lot of nothing. Like a good little nerd. let's see if I watch, what did I watch this week? One movie I watched this week, a new one, Judas and the Black Messiah. I finally got around to watching that. Great movie. Great biological film. Definitely learned, you know, some very interesting things about the Black Panthers. I don't really know much about the Black Panthers in general. But goddamn, what a powerful, good movie. I could see why Daniel won the Oscar this year for playing Chairman Fred Hampton. He did a fucking amazing job with that. What else have I been watching? I watched a bit of Gandhi earlier this week. Gandhi is a great film to watch. Today I was watching Viva La Bam, and this morning I watched the new episode of Loki. Great. I can't wait to see what they do next week to finish that first season up. Yeah, other than that, just haven't been really watching much. Yeah, it's all really about me. All right, let's get into why you folks are listening here. All right, first, we're going to go on to IMDb. And we are going to see what the news is today. What is going on in the news of the ever-important movie business? All right, folks. So, top news as of Wednesday, May 25th. God damn it, I'm sorry. Not May 25th. That is my birthday. as of as of Wednesday, July 7th, 2021 at 5:34 p.m. The top news on IMDb is, and of course it starts off with a truly sad one, Robert Downey Sr., the father and the director and also father of actor Robert Downey Jr., sadly died at the age of 85. For those of you who don't know, Robert Downey Sr. was an independent movie director in his 70s. His most famous movie was a satirical comedy film called Putney Swope, which I've heard of and I've heard really good things of. I still have not watched it, but Robert Downey Sr. also, you know, just had bit worked here, just was a a minor influential figure from like really the counterculture era. He had a bit part in Boogie Nights later in his career, so that was pretty cool. But that's sad. I feel really bad for Downey Jr. right now. I know his whole family's probably not in a good place right now. I hope it wasn't like a truly sudden out of nowhere death. I hope it was, if anything, I hope it was one of those ones, you know, you could see coming and you could give like the proper goodbyes to. So rest in peace, Robert Downey Sr. I definitely need to watch Putney Swope. Bill Condon to direct Guys and Dolls film for TriStar. They're finally... I'm pretty sure they've had to do adaptions of Guys and Dolls before. I have no idea. I've never seen it. But that'll be cool. It's always nice. Good classic Broadway coming to the screen. Suzanne Douglas, the Parenthood star, dies at 64. I've never heard of the Parenthood. I've never heard of it. So, but that's sad. That sucks. I've never heard of Suzanne Douglas. I mean, I maybe have seen stuff that she's in, but it's always sad when a great actor and actress dies. Dilip Kumar, Indian acting icon dubbed the Tragedy King, dies at 98. So, Hollywood stars are dying and Bollywood stars are dying. That sucks. I'll be honest, I have never seen a true Bollywood film. I feel like as a filmmaker, I should. As a movie person, I really should. Someday I will. Zack Snyder. Oh, yeah, I read this yesterday. Zack Snyder sets next movie sci-fi adventure Rebel Moon. That sounds interesting. Just the name Rebel Moon definitely captures attention and feels like, okay, this, what, Rebel Moon, like fighting on a moon. I don't know, but I still haven't seen Army of the Dead. People are telling me it's really, really good. So, and Zack Snyder is a fucking amazing director. So, yeah, it should be good. It should be really good. Okay, folks, let us get into the topic of conversation. Why you all took so much time out of your day to listen to my ginger ass tell you about movies and television that you don't even care about. All right, so today we're going to talk about MASH. For those of you who don't know, MASH was a television series, a comedy drama series that aired during most of the 70s and the early 1980s. It is set in a mobile medical hospital unit called a MASH unit during the Korean War. And it follows a group of doctors and nurses at the camp, you know, who go through all sorts of, you know, wacky different adventures. As basically, like, the whole comedy aspect of the show of MASH is used as a plot device, maybe, or whatever it's properly called, to alleviate from the tension that's going on all around them, because there's a fucking war going on, the Korean War, an actual huge, deadly, bloody war. So, you know, a mobile hospital near the front lines of a war doesn't seem like the best place to have a fucking sitcom set, but turns out to be one of the most highly successful and iconic sitcoms of all time. Okay, so the first episode I'm going to talk about is one from Actually, both the episodes I'm talking about today are from season two. So the first one I want to talk about is one that just really shows like the true silliness and why I fucking love the early episodes of MASH. It's an episode called 5 o'clock Charlie. It was directed by Norman Tokar. I really hope I'm pronouncing that right. I don't feel like I am. And if I'm not, I'm sorry, sir. Let's see. It is season two of... It is season two, episode two. So, second episode, second season. The episode was written by series creator or showrunner, maybe, Larry Gilbert. Larry Gilbert, is that it? Gelbart, Lawrence Marks, and Keith Walker. And the original air date was September 22nd, 1973. So my dad was, you know, probably just still a little kid, and my mom... Pretty sure my mom had already graduated high school at that point, by that point. So who knows? Okay, so the basic plot of 5 O'Clock Charlie is a highly unskilled Korean Army bomber keeps trying to drop bombs on an ammo dump that has been placed near the 4077. And, you know, at first, you know, think this that'd be a pretty scary thing, you know, fucking plane is dropping bombs on you, especially trying to drop bombs on a giant ammo dump that will create an even bigger bomb. But the bomber literally keeps missing every single day. Every day for weeks now. I think it goes on for over, yeah, it says for over 6 weeks. The pilot, who they've come to nickname 5 O'Clock Charlie, because he shows up at the same time every day, 5 o'clock at night, he just keeps missing. Like, he just sucks at his job. I'm not sure it's, you know, it's remarkable as to why the Korean Army would want such a terrible guy as their bomber. Maybe they didn't have a choice. Maybe it was just this guy need to fill a job. Who knows? It's a TV show. They can do whatever they want. It's not real. everyone at camp has come to enjoy, actually, Charlie's daily visits because it's, you know, they find it as a way to, like, distract themselves a bit from the day, watch a little bit of entertainment, I guess, even though their entertainment is a guy dropping bombs on them. And eventually, they start a daily betting pool as to, like, where Charlie's bomb is going to actually hit, because they know it's not going to hit the ammo dump. So everybody in the camp's enjoying this. Hawkeye, Trapper, they're having a good time. Henry Blake is, you know, enjoying himself, and so is Radar. So naturally, Frank and Margaret just naturally, especially Frank, just naturally can't be having a good time and naturally have to take the whole thing super fucking seriously. Frank especially views, like, Charlie as a very dangerous and serious and life-threatening emergency. And through his just whining and just bitchy antics, you know, he eventually gets the famous General Clayton to come out to the 4077 and eventually supplied the camp with an anti-aircraft gun in hopes to shoot down Charlie. But naturally, Hawkeye and Trapper, being the smart, charismatic swindlers that they are, they both know that if... you know, there's an anti-aircraft gun placed at the camp, that's going to do nothing but draw more enemy fire and perhaps draw some pilots and bombers that aren't 5 o'clock Charlie, ones that are actually really good and can actually hit their targets when they need to. So, naturally Hawkeye and Trapper have to figure out a way to stop the Army from delivering this gun, which they don't at first, because the gun gets delivered and Frank puts himself in charge of the gun, and he makes himself a little platoon of South Korean soldiers who don't really understand what he's saying. Frank just, you know, trying to make himself feel important and big. Let's see. So they get this gun, and Hawkeye and Trapper are just really bummed and knowing that this isn't what the camp needs. So one night while they're having some drinks with the camp dentist, the camp dentist suggests that, hey, instead of getting rid of the gun, you guys should focus on getting rid of the ammo dump. Get rid of what's bringing Charlie, the enemy, to the camp in the first place. Which to them really makes sense, you know. Get rid of the dump. It gets rid of Charlie, and in turn gets rid of the gun. So, at first, Trapper and Hawkeye create, you know, using bed sheets and stuff like that, they create like all sorts of, you know, arrows and like a big, big fucking target on top of the ammo dump to try and really help to help out the enemy bomb their own sector. So they use, they put this big target up there to try and get Charlie to hit the fucking thing, but Charlie still ends up missing. And in the end, it's actually through the power of Frank being a fucking moron that he ends up firing the anti-aircraft gun upon Charlie and in turn hits the ammo dump instead of hitting Charlie. So Frank ends up blowing up the ammo dump by accident, which is exactly what Trapper and Hawkeye tried to intend to do in the end. So the episode ends with the ammo dump being destroyed, 5 o'clock Charlie flying off into the sunset, and the gun gets taken away. And the episode ends with Hawkeye and Trapper sitting in a swamp. For those of you who don't know, the swamp is the name of the tent that the two of them and Frank Burns share throughout the series. And later when Frank leaves, Major Charles Winchester becomes their new roommate. So yeah, it just ends with them being bummed because Charlie isn't around anymore and they kind of don't have something to really look forward to during the day. And they're just back to just, you know, the harsh realities of war. So that's all the plot of the episode. I chose this episode to talk about because it's just the whole episode is just really silly and just really shows like the whole like heart and humor of what made the show really funny and just it's basically like most of the show is just like, you know, this the good guy is kind of like butting heads with the tactical bad guy of the show, Frank. Even though Frank's character isn't really a bad guy, he's just a fucking moron. He is the antagonist of the show, technically, so it's just, like, any episode that just pairs, Hawkeye and Trapper's, you know, common sense and, you know, manliness against Frank's childness and, irrationality is always gonna be funny. Like, one of the things that just shows, like, how fucking unserious everyone is taking Frank's and Margaret's, complaints about Charlie is the fact that Henry Blake, the leader of the camp, Father Mulcahy, the camp priest, and even General Clayton, a high-ranking officer in the U.S. Army, all have bets on Charlie, all in that betting pool of the rest of the camp, because they just know, like, they all know that it's not that big of a fucking threat. It's just Frank making noise because Frank just wants to see him make himself feel important. Let's see. I found out that the inspiration for this episode actually came from something that was in the real Korean War called Bed Check Charlie, which in the Korean War, there are these pilots for the Korean Army called Bed Check Charlie who would fly and do raids over U.S. bases and camps at night. And I don't think that they were really, like, bombing raids to, like, you know, bomb the enemy out of nowhere. It was almost used to try and just keep the enemies on their toes and just keep them alert, maybe, like, deprive them of sleep in the middle of the night, just stuff like that. Which isn't actually technically a really bad thing to do. It's pretty fucking smart tactic if you're in warfare. It's fucking war. Fucking war. You gotta do whatever you can. Another silly part of the episode is the reoccurring joke of Hawkeye and Trapper just constantly replacing Frank's gun. They, like, first Frank pulls out his gun and it's a water pistol. Then Frank pulls out his gun, and it's second time he pulls it out, it's a stapler gun. The third time he pulls it out, it's a fucking toilet plunger. And then, like, the fourth time he pulls it out, it's one of those classic toy guns where when you fire it, like, a stick pops out and, like, a flag, and it just says bang. That real slapstick classic comedy sense that you just don't see in any modern television anymore. Really shows, like, the old, you know, love from the old era of Hollywood. And this is actually, this television show is one of the first shows during the new era of Hollywood. You know, this show started in the very early 70s, only a few years after the new age Hollywood really started. You know, you couldn't, like, the cast have talked about this in interviews. You know, naturally, yeah, this show is set in Korea, but this show is also produced and filmed at first during the early 70s. And what was going on at that point? Vietnam, the Vietnam War. So they're clearly doing, like, anti-war stuff in a war show as kind of like a, I don't know if it's like the Hollywood liberal pushback against war or whatever it was, but it's almost kind of it's pretty fascinating that, like, a show like this not only became, like, the iconic, amazing, hugely rated show that it did, but just that it could exist on television during that wartime, during, like, here's a show that is clear, like, a war show that's clearly anti-war, you know, at a time when it's a highly controversial time for an American military because of, you know, all the different sides people were taking on Vietnam. So it is pretty fascinating how they could be able to, you know, keep this show on the air while America was still in Vietnam. And that's all I really have to say about 5 o'clock Charlie. Go check it out. It's a great episode. Okay. The second episode I wanted to talk about is an episode that is also from season 2. It's an episode titled Hot Lips and Empty Arms. Okay, so this episode was original air date. This is, I did not write down what the episode, I'm so sorry, folks. I need to figure out what number episode it was in the season. I'm looking up on my phone. Okay, so this episode, Hot Lips and Empty Arms, is episode 14 of season 2. It is directed by a man by the name of Jackie Cooper. And it was written by two women. One named Linda Bloodworth, which is, dude, Bloodworth, that is such a fucking cool last name. And Mary Kay Place. And this episode was actually nominated for it to writing. The two ladies who wrote the script got nominated for an Emmy for best script. I don't even know what they... God damn it. Now that I'm really thinking about it, like, most of the act... When I think about the Emmys, and I've actually been to the Emmy Awards 2 years in a row as a seat filler, I really only know about, like, the shows that, like, win, like, best, you know, comedy show, or, like, you know, people who win for, like, performances. I really don't know about people who win Emmys and stuff for writing and directing. I should need to look that up. I'm just realizing that now as I'm recording a podcast. But that's pretty cool. You know, just pretty cool. Not only it's an Emmy nominated episode, but it's nominated by two female screenwriters. So, you know, power to the people. Okay, so the basic plot of this episode is Margaret receives a letter from a friend of hers that she went through Army nurse training with. And this friend, the letter says that this friend of hers ended up marrying a doctor that had originally asked out Margaret Hot Lips, and Hot Lips turned the doctor down, and so her friend ends up, you know, marrying this doctor, and now her friend and this doctor have, you know, a nice large house and like two cars and maybe some kids or a dog or whatever, and just, you know, it's a good, I guess, that good American dream life, or not even just American dream, just like that natural, you know, dream of like just a comfortable good life in today's modern society. And that really ends up throwing her into a funk, because she's, you know, she's stuck in, you know, buttfuck war zone Korea, you know, thousands of miles away from home. And she gets into the whole thing of like thinking like, what could have been, this could have been mine. And it just throws her into a real depression. Just through that kind of depression and stuff like that, she just realizes how sick of being at the 4077 she is. Sick of the antics of Hawkeye and Trapper, and, you know, constantly undermining her authority. And, you know, she's sick of Henry Blake, you know, not being like a very... Henry runs a somewhat tight ship, you know. Henry is definitely like a very relaxed... leader of the camp. So Margaret eventually asks for a transfer. She thinks, you know, her solution to, like, for some reason her solution to her friend having a good life and her being depressed is like, I just gotta run away, almost, which isn't necessarily true. So Margaret tells Henry she wants a transfer. And naturally, no one in the 4077 wants Hot Lips to transfer out. Not even Hawkeye and Trapper. You know, they fuck around with her and play pranks and jokes on her, but they still like her, and she does her job really well, and she's a really important, you know, personnel member at the camp. They need her. She's literally the head of the nurses, so she keeps the nurses in line. Margaret starts writing up a report that she's going to give to General Clayton about the immature antics of the 4077. In this episode, actually, it's funny because a little side story of Henry Blake and Radar is Henry is... Now, for those of you who point this out, this is set place in Korea. So this is in the early 1950s, like... Literally, like, yeah, the beginning to early 1950s. So there's movies and, you know, very early television, but everything is, you know, it's all, you know, classic film reels and stuff like that. And 16, 35, 8, Super 8, all that, all the classic, you know, just film. There's no video, no DVDs, just rolls of film. That's how, film reels, film canisters, that's how you see a movie. You need a fucking... actual large film projector and shit like that. So Henry ends up ordering some, you know, smut films. I don't think they were like hardcore porno films. I think they were kind of almost like, in a sense, like Girls Gone Wild style videos, where it's just like maybe girls just getting naked, and I don't know if they're like having sex or whatever, but I think it's just, you know, topless, you know, videos that have, you know, topless women in it, which, you know, who doesn't want to see that? And so Margaret walks in on Henry and Radar, and actually, no, Henry, Radar, Trapper, and Hawkeye are all watching, and she's just disgusted and just flips out and shit like that. And so from there, Margaret ends up, you know, Hawkeye and Trapper decide, you know, all right, if she's gonna leave, she's gonna leave, you know, nothing we can really do about it. So they have a drink, but they decide, you know, we're gonna have a drink with her. We're gonna have one, you know, a toast to goodbye and good farewell and fond wishes and stuff like that. And so they start drinking the champagne, quote unquote champagne, because for anybody who has never watched MASH, one of the reoccurring things for Hawkeye and Trapper and later BJ and everybody else in the show is, in the swamp, there is a fucking still. they have a still to make moonshine in the camp. And just, like, you know, they use alcohol to, like, really drown away their sorrows and, you know, help deal with the trauma and craziness of, you know, being doctors in war and just literally having to spend, like, 16-hour days back-to-back just in an operating room sewing up and trying to save the lives of injured soldiers. You know, naturally, yeah, you're going to be fucking drinking a lot to, you know, deal with that kind of crap. I'd, if anything, like, go out and find some Korean heroin or something. There's got to be some good drugs back then. Maybe some good pot. You know, you're not too... man, pot in the 50s must have fucking sucked. Like, all the jazz musicians, all the blues musicians. I can't imagine they were getting some really good weed. So Margaret, so they end up drinking, they always call it gin in the show. They can never call it moonshine, so they just call it gin. So they start drinking some gin, and Margaret just ends up getting fucking drunk and just ends up going on a drinking binge. During her binge, she ends up, like, calling out, Frank Burns for, you know, always being, like, really sneaky with her. Because throughout the whole series, when Frank is in the series, Frank and Margaret are having an affair. Frank is a married man back in the States, but, you know, classic sideline story for any wartime movie or television show is, you know, soldiers being, you know, not so faithful with their loved ones back home. And so Margaret, Frank is always, you know, terrified that his wife back home is going to find out about Margaret and just terrified that Margaret's going to, like, you know, not want to be with him anymore. And Hot Lips is just fucking sick of it. Sick of, like, I don't know if she really wanted Frank to, like, break up with his wife or divorce his wife, but she was always just sick of, you know, Frank being a coward around her, basically. And just being so worried about, like, his wife catching him, even though they're, like, thousands of miles away. So she calls out Frank, gives him back, like, all the shit and crap that she's given him over the time that they've been there. Then she goes into Henry's office, still drunk, and goes into Henry's office to have a drink with Henry. And, you know, it was just, you know, shooting the shit and being, you know, talking drunk. And she said that she made, like, a comment saying that, you know, Frank, that Henry looks like her father. And it turns out, you know, from a later episode where Margaret's father actually shows up at camp, that Henry looked nothing like Mr. Hot Lips, or, you know, whatever Margaret's dad name is, Mr. Hot Lips. she ends up having a drink with him, and then just keeps drinking and drinking, and then eventually, you know, like most of the episodes, they get a call, or Radar gets a call over the radio saying that there's incoming wounded and that, you know, all the doctors and staff need to report to the OR. And naturally, Margaret's still there. She hasn't transferred out yet. She's still there, so she still has to do her job. And she is just fucking sloshed at this point. She is so fucking drunk at this point. So Henry tells Hawkeye and Trapper, like, hey, all right, I need you to, like, you guys got, like, an hour. I need you to sober up as much as you can. Like, we need her right now. Like, it doesn't... And so they take her into the shower, and they just put her head under the cold shower for a while to try to sober her up, give her a shot of B1 and all that stuff. And eventually, you know, they get through all the incoming wounded, and Margaret sobers up and then realizes, you know what, this is where I need to be. And she ends up staying at the 4077, and everything's all hunky-dory, and, you know, the episode ends. And but the reason I wanted to talk about this episode is because this episode has, like, a lot of relevance to what social media does today to the on the psyche of people today. You know, Margaret literally got thrown into a depression in this episode because she read a letter about a friend of hers that's, you know, technically living a better life than her. You know, she's got, you know, basically everything that Margaret wants, and that just really bums Margaret out, just like it bums, you know, anybody out. Like, an actor, you know, I'm an actor and a writer, but, you know, every day I'm extremely jealous of, you know, people, not only people that I know personally, but also just, you know, actors and writers and filmmakers that I look up to that get to, you know, do the things I want to do. And I'm not at that level yet. And with social media, it's like social media is like today one of the biggest causes of like depression and mental health, anxiety, and just all sorts of problems in life. Because like, I'm just, I'm grabbing my phone right now. I'm looking up my Facebook. I'm opening up my Facebook. Let's see. Okay, here's one. My buddy posting something. His mom bought him, like, okay, that's not a good one. There's nothing. As I'm opening up my Facebook, there's nothing really, none of my friends really posting about anything really cool that they're doing. But just like, you go on social media, you see like your friends on vacation, or your friends that are, you know, more, have like a better job than you and just are, you know, a better place in, just at like a place in life that you want to be that you're not. And it just really causes like a lot of anxiety and pain in people that like, they just, it's so easy on social media to see so many people being happy, and then you just compare yourself to those people. Like, compare yourself to like everybody. And that's a problem that existed long before, you know, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. Fucking MySpace. Why did I say MySpace? Fucking Snapchat, Instagram, all that stuff. Like that kind of problem existed long before fucking social media started. People will be jealous. Like, you could, back in the day, you read like fucking, like, teenage girls would read like, you know, Tiger Beat and like Teen Beat and like all those kind of magazines and see like, you know, the teen pop stars, you know, living their best life and get jealous. Like, I want that. And the guys will do that too, not to sound like too much of a sexist dickhead. But yeah, just like, this episode just shows like, you know, the common issue that we have where we just like compare ourselves to everybody else and what everybody else has instead of just being thankful for what we do have. You know, that's just the important part. Like, really, like, the lesson I'm trying to get across is don't let social media get people down all the time. You know, don't let it affect you all the time. Just like, you know, there's always gonna be people in our lives, whether it's people we know or just people in general, that are gonna be doing better than us. Even people who are like at the top of their game, top of their field in their career, or like, you know, have millions of dollars, there's still people that they probably wish they could be like. Be like, oh, I wish I could be like that, and I wish that I could do that. Just, we're always comparing ourselves to other people, and like, you know, it's just, it doesn't do us any good. Social media is just the worst about that. It's just one of the biggest negative aspects of social media. Like, there's many great aspects of social media. Huge, amazing, great aspects to having social media. But then, with every every positive, there has to be a negative. One of the things with this episode is, this is one of the episodes that really changes, like, kind of what Margaret is as a character, who Margaret's character is. You know, it's after this is like the first episode where she really like lets loose and isn't basically, you know, on par with Frank as of being like neurotic and rule crazy. You know, she really puts Frank in his fucking place in this episode, and Frank was you know, not having it, not happy about it. So it's like future episodes after this will show Margaret, you know, being more lenient on the rules and, you know, more fun. She probably gets drunk in future episodes, stuff like that. Who knows? But this is the first episode to really start to change her character in that way. The other thing I wanted to mention, I want to talk about briefly, is the writers of this episode. All right, so the first woman, her name is Linda Bloodworth. And Linda Bloodworth... later went on to be one of the creators of a show in the 1980s called Designing Women, which I know as the TV show that had Annie Potts on it, the woman from Ghostbusters. I've never seen Designing Women. I've just heard of it. But, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, that's really cool. It's a episode that, you know, it was a really popular, highly successful television show, a very powerful woman show. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, you know, she started writing early episodes of MASH. She ended up writing, like, 5 more episodes. And the other person who wrote the episode, Mary Kate Place, she ended up later being one of the stars of a show called Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. You know, another funny show from the 1970s. She ended up winning an Emmy from that. And, you know, she went on to have roles in some big movies. You know, she was in Private Benjamin and The Big Chill. But, you know, it's just really cool that this was a really really cool episode. It had a lot of good moral themes and aspects to it. And it was written by a couple of women. You know, there's so many amazing, awesome women in the film industry that just don't get as much credit. And it really needs to change at times. So that's really all I have to talk about this episode. Wow, this is the longest podcast I've recorded so far. I was so nervous about recording this. Like, I was so nervous all day. I was at work just thinking, like, all right, I'm going to come home, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to record this. And I was just so nervous because every time I'm doing this podcast, I just keep thinking, like, you know, do people care about this? It's just stupid. But at the end of the day, I keep realizing it's my podcast. I get, you know, I created this. You know, where am I going with this? I don't know where I'm going with this. But yeah, at the end of this, now I'm at the end of this recording, I'm realizing it's the same thing I realize every time I get super fucking nervous before recording an episode of my podcast. And then at the end, I realized, oh my God, that was so much fun. I had a great time, and I'm really looking forward to the next one. I'm actually, you know, I'm currently working on the notes for next episode of my podcast, which I might record either tomorrow or the next day. Who knows? But thank you for listening in. I hope you all enjoyed this episode of Imagination Fun Time. And I hope that if you've never watched MASH before, I highly recommend that you go and watch MASH. It's a great show, and it'll probably be playing forever. Who knows? But thank you, folks. Have a wonderful day. And until next time, I'm your host, Brandon Devine.